Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio, past, present, and future, also including all other talk radio programs that will ever or have ever existed. I'm Kara Kittrick, and I'm joined today by Chauncey Haworth, who is the host of this program and the creator of Radio Wasteland, here to talk about Christmas, blackface, and a short story he wrote called Black Pete, as well as all manner of Scandinavian Christmas legends. Chauncey, what are we talking about here?
Well, thanks for having me on, Kara.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other guest canceled at the last minute, so we thought, you know, let's bring in the guy who runs the program.
Who do we got around here we can huck a stick at?
Yeah, let's get Chauncey. Hopefully our listeners will forgive us.
Well, I'm basically, I think there's a big crossover between horror movie fans and paranormal. That's how I got into paranormal, was I'm first and foremost a horror fan. And
oh, you're a horror movie fan.
Yes. And you know, Christmas has always been my second favorite holiday because it's so dark and creepy. There's
behind
so much
Halloween.
Dark and creepy history to it. And I don't think most people know that. More people know that today than used to, but and a lot of that has been stemmed from this kind of like paranormal thing, but I don't think people realize the dark and creepy history that's like also beyond the evil characters or the followers of Saint Nicholas and stuff like that. You know, like ghost stories were always a part of it, and trick or treating was a part of it. You know, there was a lot to Christmas that's dark, and I like dark stuff.
Yeah. Well, so the story itself is basically, let me see if I have this right, the story of a child living in a very old-fashioned town that has its own idiosyncratic sort of Christmas legends, and their parents warn them about Black Pete might, you know, come to get them if they don't sort of shape up with their Christmas behavior. And in the end, this monstrous black-skinned being with, like, sharp teeth does, in fact, come and get him. He narrowly escapes the demon that Santa sends to punish bad kids. Is that about the size of it?
Yeah. It's pretty much Santa and a bunch of demons. Because one of the, like, there are a lot of different you know, these are isolated towns and, you know, it's cold
here.
So they're doubly isolated, you know.
You don't go trekking around, you know, I'm going to see what the town up there does for Christmas.
Right,
no,
right.
You're staying put and you're not opening the door.
Yeah. If you're visiting, you live there now.
Yeah.
And, one of these is that Santa enslaved demons and uses the demons that he's enslaved to help him bring all the joy to the world as their kind of penance or whatever.
And
so that was the part where they're all these, you know, demons. So they all kind of have a similar look because they are all demons. But that's where I pulled that from. And I thought that was a really cool, sort of way of putting it. Cause over the years, as I heard of Krampus and stuff like that, I'm all, why is Santa's such a nice guy? Why is he hanging out with this guy? He's obviously a jerk, you know?
Right.
So it's like,
he's got horns.
Right. So I felt the enslaved thing really sort of.
Yeah. That's some deep Christmas folklore. So we're talking about Scandinavian legends here, right?
We're talking about
this idea of Santa enslaving demons. When and where does that come from?
Most of these come from Germany and Austria.
Okay. So it's not even Scandinavian. It's like.
Right. But some of them span out, you know, and I can't pretend to be,
Northwestern,
you know, an expert on it. I basically, there was a reason behind doing this. And so let me explain why I don't.
Okay.
There was a reason behind doing this. I decided I wanted to write this story because I loved all these things. And in looking at it, every time I'd look at it, a very common character was Black Pete. And every time I came to Black Pete, I'm just all, man, this guy's a little shady. I'm not sure I want to have anything to do with this story.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason being that Black Pete traditionally in these towns is played by a person in blackface.
Oh.
Right. And so I would look at these and it was all just so cool, so cool. I'm just, oh man, this is like imagination heaven. And then there's always the guy there going, hey, I'm in blackface. And I'm just all like, oh, I don't know about all this.
You know? Right. So you're loving the sort of weird, wacky, occult Christmas horror. And then bam, you're hit with a dose of blackface.
Right. Yeah. Like, who wants to be the blackface guy? Nobody does.
Right.
No, nobody does.
What's so you decided to write a short story.
Okay, there's a reason. you know, as you read more into the character of Black Pete, it was like in the 18th century or 1800s that he was first portrayed as a black Moor.
Mm.
Prior to that, he was never portrayed as anything other than like a black-skinned, like demon servant of St. Nicholas. And so from like the 1850s on, he's been portrayed as somebody as a black person by white people in blackface. But his history goes back a little further.
I was actually wondering if that was probably the case, because I happen to know in a lot of like older Scandinavian legends of like the Draugr, which are these undead who live in like basically burial mounds and attack anyone who comes in and like attack nearby villages, are thought to have blue or black skin.
Mm.
And this is a much older legend than, like, the slave trade. This is, like, a legend from, you know, the 1100s or something.
Right.
So I wondered if it was maybe that. But it sounds like what you're saying is, like, these were sort of Norse folklores of just a black-skinned monster that later became racialized because people were like, hey, black skin, we're horrible. We can run with that.
You know, because, I mean, they live in, you know, isolated mountain towns of white folk. And probably when they found out that black folk existed, you know, there was probably some tie in their folklore for, and, you know, that's easy to say that like your average Joe who's working at the grocery store or whatever goes like, oh, black people exist. Well, this must be, that's probably not how it really happened. How it really happened was, it was a specific writer rewrote the tale with illustrations of him as a black Moor. And right. So now that gets around and that changes everything. So I look at it and I go, man, I just hate this. Every time I see this, it ruins my imagination train. So, I was glad because basically for like the last 10 years, I do this. I read into it every Christmas because I love it so much. And this time I finally read deep enough into Black Pete where there was history beyond that. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm not going to let people being stupid ruin this for me. And I'm going to attack this head on and I'm going to rewrite this. Other people rewrote this tale into something that I don't like. So I'm going to rewrite this tale into something I do like.
He is not an Arab. He is a frostbite-skinned demon, and I demand that he be treated as such.
Yeah. And although I like that take, I didn't realize that take the frostbite.
Yeah, well, that's where it came from, is these, you know, really cold bodies that will end up looking sort of blue or purplish or even kind of black in death is why Draugr were portrayed as being black. And To be fair, like, the Vikings knew black people exist. Like, the Vikings had extensive...
Yeah, they had boats. They weren't in the Alpine Mountains.
Right, yeah, they had extensive contact with people in Africa, the Middle East, whatever. There were even, like, black Vikings. But this is ideas of race, like, the ideas of, like, black and white is kind of developed later. This was just spooky frostbite, of course.
Right.
Do you have a friend that won't shut up about crypto? Are you interested but don't know where to go? What is Web3? How does it affect me? Who benefits from DeFi? Is one crypto best? Why? There's so much to know. Get answers with Tokens Radio Show. Connect with us on Telegram at t.me/tokensradioshow or tokensradioshow.com.
Sunday afternoons from 2 to 3.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by a brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members. From the Timberline Heating and Air family, happy holidays.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, and our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
You know, so as I did that, this is a little off topic here, but this is, you know, like, I'm curious about people's thought about this. For one, I was like a little nervous.
Sure.
You know, to write this because, you know, I don't want people thinking like I'm okay with mocking, you know, other people or something. I mean, I mock my family, but that's about it.
You know? It sounds like you kind of wrote this for you.
I did. Definitely wrote it for me, but it did get me to thinking about the character Black Pete. And so in a lot of these towns, apparently, there's a big pushback trying to get rid of this character.
Right.
But there's whole holidays of this character coming through the streets and throwing candy to the kids, and they all love it and everything. And I was thinking, like, now, this is a totally potentially shady thing to say, so correct me if I'm overstepping, but I think it sucks that all that fun would be taken away because people were jerks. So
yeah.
It's like, I like the idea of it was rewritten to become something terrible. So rewrite it to become something not, you right. know, and
I'm kind of two minds, but like, I agree. I think it's sad if like, this is a legend that goes back, you know, much longer than like colonialism and European slavery and stuff. I think it would be sad if we couldn't find some way to, like, I don't know, make it not just a racial caricature. But I can also
rewrite
see
it into a deer monster if you want.
Yes.
Rewrite it into a giant ladybug or a
right, you know, yeah, a
whatever. You know. I don't care. That all the kids care about is that some character is going to come running through the streets throwing them candy. That's right. The part that you don't want to ruin.
No.
You know, that's really the part that I'm moving on to. Now, the other one was done just for me. Black Pete is done just for me because I want demons. I like demons. What am I going to do? Yeah. You know, but as far as like the celebrations demons in these places, they're trying to cancel it and put an end to it. And, I would like to see them claim it and, get a different character in there and keep hucking candy at kids, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to cancel it just because, you know, the taste that's going to leave in people's mouth is, oh, we can't have our holiday anymore because political correctness gone amok. And it's like, no, that's right. Not really what's going on. I think there's a way to do this that's more deft, but who knows? And neither of us are, you know, German. I'm pretty ignorant about all of this. So, you know, maybe there's more to it than that. But that's kind of my take with what little I know.
Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, all of the world was created by somebody's idea. You know, when if you're a believer in God, God did not decree that every corner must have a stop and sip. You know, basically society was created by humans. A lot of this crappy stuff, if you don't like it, you can just change it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, make it something better. You know, it was created that way by some jerk. Now you can come in and be a not jerk. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't use that for your stupid Halloween costumes. That's not what I'm saying.
God. Yeah.
But, you know, Black Pete is only one of the characters in it. So Santa, in a lot
right.
of these places, going across all these places, typically has 1 to 4 traveling companions.
Wow.
And, you know, so I chose four companions of St. Nicholas to use in the story. Black Pete is
got Old Man Whipper.
Old Man Whipper, yeah, is, and Belsnickel and Black Pete.
Right.
And Old Man Whipper is one of the variations.
Like the Beatles.
Is one of the variations of Krampus, you know. So, you know, Krampus is a big demon with a wicker basket and a stick. You know, some places have multiple Krampuses. I mean, all the way over to Russia, they have Baba Yaga flying around in a basket using a broom as a steering rudder to huck kids in. There's a lot of variations of them. Old Man Whipper is just one of them. And I just liked him because he just had a long sticking out tongue. And, I felt if I went with Krampus, that was probably a little much coming out of the gate.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know there were any of these characters in the first place. I've heard of Krampus, sure.
Right.
Never heard of any of these other guys.
Oh, really?
Is this like a common... How widespread was this idea of Santa with, like, this entourage? Was this just a German thing? Was this all over
Europe?
Throughout
all the Scandinavian alpine countries.
Weird.
Yeah.
And
it gets weird in some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets really weird in some of them. Like my Belsnickel. Belsnickel more common. So have you ever seen, like, pictures of Santa Claus? And there's Santa in all his gold robes and red, right?
Sure.
And next to him is another bearded old man in like just a drab robe.
I haven't actually seen that, but you said it with a lot of confidence.
Okay. So that's one of them. There tends to be the royalty Santa, the sort of humble peasant Santa that's his servant, you know, mm-hmm. and then the baddie that comes along for the bad kids, and then the watcher. So here we have Black Pete watching, and then Belsnickel sort of decides. Now, Belsnickel and Old Man Whipper, Belsnickel, okay, there is a lot here. So Belsnickel more commonly is displayed as like a mountain man with a beard covered in furs and stuff like that. And he, in my story and in several of them, makes the choosing. He's sort of the naughty nice list tracker.
Sure.
Right. In some stories, he's also the bad guy. He's also he's also the Krampus figure. Because remember, we're dealing with anywhere from two to four, so it can be spread out.
Right.
But in some cultures, Belsnickel is dressed as a woman for some reason.
Okay. But so, is a guy who is dressed as a woman?
Yeah.
So Belsnickel's just in drag?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Right. So I went with that one. So right. Yeah. I imagine him as being a solid black demon like Black Pete, but sure. Wearing the gold dress from Belle and Beauty and the Beast. You know, this is what I imagined him. And so Black Pete basically reports to Belsnickel, again, a real character who comes through and picks. And there's several ways that Belsnickel would pick. And one is, he's got a switch and he would tap on the windows of the bad kids. You know,
what does that do?
You know, all of this comes from something. You know, it's some like drunk ass jerk of a dad who started this. He went outside his kids' windows and tapped on there and thought it was real funny and traumatized his whole family, which spread for generations.
That. I believe that.
Where was I?
Belsnickel.
There's a couple of ways. One is like the good kids would get a bundle of sticks painted gold and the bad kids would get like a single stick painted silver.
Okay. Silver's
so you knew
pretty
you were
good.
Bad at that point. And you knew that Old Man Whipper might be coming for you.
Now, was Old Man Whipper called that because he, like, whipped bad kids?
Yeah.
Or was that just his name? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he whipped him with a stick.
So that's more like a title. Like, his name was probably just John or something.
He has a name, and it's French, and I don't think I could pronounce it.
That's valid, frankly.
Knight. It stands for knight something, but again, all of these characters cross over drastically from place to place. Like, so what I'm calling the scribblers in there, those are another one. So my dad's boyfriend growing up was from Germany, and I asked him, hey, did you guys have Krampus where you guys are from? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we had like a lot of little Krampuses. So in his town, they would dress up all in black, the little kids, and they would run through the town sort of teasing, the adults. And they were all in blackface. And he said that it was soot, supposed to be soot, but you know, was it though? You know, was it? So there's a lot of this going on in these mountain towns, and it's, you know, to bring it back around to blackface, I guess. But there is a lot of this going on in these mountain towns. But there's also a lot of people pushing back, trying to get rid of it in a lot of these cases.
Happy holidays from Reading Electric Utility, your community-owned electric utility for 100 years. On behalf of all REU employees, we are wishing you a safe and happy holiday season. Please remember holiday safety starts with you. Never overload an extension cord or electrical circuit. Make sure extension cords and lights are rated for outdoor use. And remember never to expose electrical outlets or connections to rain. Reading Electric Utility has been honored to serve you in 2021 and wishes you and your family a happy and healthy new year.
At Golden Valley Bank, our mission is to create a truly unique local banking experience. We understand how important it is to be known and heard by your bank. That's why we take the time to connect with you and the community you live in. When you bank with us, we put your money back into our community by supporting local nonprofits who provide services for those that need it most. Golden Valley Bank, a bank built for business, a bank built for community, a bank built for you. Learn more at goldenvalley.bank. Member FDIC.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This holiday season, begin a whole new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Reading Garden of Lights, taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's Locano Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge in Reading, California. Explore 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Reading Garden of Lights, November 19th through December 31st, presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You know, if you want the history of how you got to stand in the world that you're currently standing in, the innovation coming in, and so because some of that's true, you know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of smelting of iron and stuff like that going on, and
that's true.
You know, it comes in, and that's a part of the history. But the you know what you're saying is I totally agree with, and I would wrap it up in if you take a U.S. history class and you don't learn U.S. history,
right?
You probably need to take another class, you know. How can you teach kids U.S. history without teaching them all of that?
Yeah, so
that's my issue. I keep hearing these arguments on the radio, and they're just, oh, they're teaching our kids this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, well, if that's true, don't teach them just that, because that, too, is only half of the story, you know.
Right.
you got to teach them the whole story and leave out all the damn adjectives. This is, again, my problem. We've talked about this before with the news. You know, part of the problem and part of the reason why people get upset when history is taught is the biases of historians.
Sure.
And you put in a lot more adjectives when you got an angle.
Yeah. So you're saying you want, like, the simple Wikipedia version of history. You know, lots of information, but taught using, you know, the 100 most common words in English.
The what?
The 100 most common words in English.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to have another class, show me another class where kids are learning more than the 100 most commonly used words in English, and I'll expand that to the 1,000. But I mean, if we don't have a class that's teaching them more than 100 words, no, absolutely not. Don't word it in any. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of this is, like, the way we do it now is kind of, like, you get sort of the hero worshipy, you know, you get the version that is not too upsetting to either kids or parents up until, like, high school. And then you go to college and you get the version that is understood by, like, all historians, basically.
Right.
And that version is immensely distressing. So it's like people go to college and, you know, they immediately are like, my country did what? Like, you know, it's actually quite, I don't know, not everyone who goes to college even, like, takes humanities classes, but sometimes it can be like, you know, you take these classes and it's like, hold on, the CIA did what thing? Like,
oh yeah.
So it's, you know, maybe a gentler angle of entry where we just, like, don't lie to our kids for, you know, 14 years or whatever, and then send them to college and be like, hey, but none of that was, like, true. It's this now. It was like, okay.
Right.
That was not eloquently put, but what I'm saying is, you know, we should maybe get some of these viewpoints in there earlier, but...
Well, I'm guessing I've probably told you this before, but bringing this around full circle, I had this issue with my daughter Harley when she was born. both my wife and my kid's mom, you know. So Harley's like 3 or something at that point. I'm talking to both of them, and I'm just like, you know, I don't want to lie to Harley and tell her there's a Santa. I feel a little weird about lying to my kid about magical beings. And they're right. Both all like, oh, you're being stupid, whatever. Just let her have her fun and blah, blah, blah. So I lose. You know, I got the kid mom, I got the wife, I lose.
Sure.
And like, you know, years later, Harley's like too old to believe in Santa, but she totally believes in Santa. And finally, I'm telling the two of them, I'm just
like,
we need to tell her.
We have to stop this.
Right. And they're just all right, go ahead and tell her.
She's going to be taking physics classes, and she can't think that a reindeer can travel around the world in one night.
Right, right. Yeah, she's like 9 or something. She's like getting too old to not have
Yeah, that's too old.
And so it gets tasked to me to break this lie to my daughter that I was forced into keeping, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love a movie called Chasing Amy. I love movies. And so I
How you like movies?
I draw a picture. Oh no, I straight up tell her. So I don't mess with her first. I straight up tell her. I'm just all Santa's not real. We were just telling you that it's all coming from us and we love you. And she's all, oh, okay. And she's just all like,
and, can watch and a little Easter bit Bunny. Of magic die inside her heart.
Yeah, no, she dealt with it perfectly.
No, she's okay.
And the Easter Bunny? And I'm all, yeah, no, also not real. Tooth Fairy? No. The gnomes? Okay, they had a thing at their school with gnomes. That's a whole nother, story. Gnomes aren't real now.
Yeah.
And so I think she gets it. We're all good. We just had the conversation, and she's totally fine with it. I'm all right. Well, I guess she already knew.
Uh-oh.
And so
you can't half-ass the deprogramming.
I can't just leave well enough alone.
Oh.
So from this movie, Chasing Amy, I'm joking with her, and I draw a picture of a dollar in the middle of the thing. And I draw a picture of a snail, and then I draw Santa Claus, and then I draw the Easter Bunny, and then I draw the Tooth Fairy. And I put it down, and I say, which one will get the dollar first? And she's all, well, the Easter Bunny, because it's a bunny. And I'm all, nope. And she's all, Tooth Fairy, because it can fly. And I'm all, no. She's all, Santa. And I'm all, no, the snail will get it first. And she's all, what? And I'm just all, well, the other three are figments of your imagination.
Oh, God.
And she looks at me and she's all, you're lying! And she just screams and starts crying and runs up to her room. And
oh no!
My God, what have I done? And I finally just destroyed my daughter, who is way too old to believe in Santa.
Oh God, you had it! You did it perfectly, and then you're like, "I'm gonna ram this nail in."
And she needed to marinate on it. Joke. She wasn't ready.
Oh, that's hilarious, frankly. Well,
God, I feel so bad about it. And she'll, oh man.
She so in this case, in this metaphor, the dollar picture is learning about racism in your college history classes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Honestly, yeah, that tracks.
I got a thing of Christmas cards 1 year, and so this war on Christmas. All right. I'm just not going to stop.
Let's We're go. Not going to end this show. We're just going to keep almost ending the show. And yeah.
So I came home the other day. Yeah. I came home the other day to my wife and I'm just all, you know, for all the talk of the war on Christmas, I do not see a lot of it in my day to day activity. There seems to be a lot of Christmas going around. I got this thing of cards. And one of the cards, there was 3 different types of cards in the box. One said, Merry Christmas.
Okay.
One said, Happy Holidays.
Okay.
For the people who don't do Christmas. They right. do other things. And right. one of them said, Winter Wishes. Mm. Which I thought was hilarious. Because it's yeah. totally just like,
it's a little picture
some crappy aunt, some crappy, fully just Jesus-loving aunt, my aunt, you know, sending me the winter wishes as this sort of like half love, half screw you sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, send the winter wishes card.
Oh, you don't celebrate it? Well, here's the winter wishes card. Yeah.
God, the winter wishes card.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you can send the winter wishes card to your evangelical relatives and just imagine, you know, the blood pressure skyrocket.
Good point. All right.
And, you know, it's a powerful weapon in the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
A devastating new device is being employed on the front line.
That just takes holidays.
The winter wishes card.
Enjoy the cold.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
You've been listening to
The Wishes for Firewood.
All right. This is happening. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. And what do we have to say to our audience, Kara?
Winter wishes. Happy holidays. Winter wishes. Okay.
Wishes.
Okay.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Go not to the elves for counsel, for they will say both no and yes. J.R.R. Tolkien.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our monster of the day. These can really be true monsters. It's the Fae. Those tricky buggers.
We're talking not only fairies, but elves, pixies, sometimes gnomes are considered fae. There are a lot of creatures that are vaguely humanoid with a little bit of a magical twist and often have a very druidic nature in their style of magic. So we are calling them as a super category fae.
With the fae usually comes an almost human appearance. They have the same general shape. They're a humanoid. But there's something different. There's something magical, mystical about them.
A lot of times they're the people who wield the plant-type magic. So if you go into a fae kind of realm, they have their own homelands in a way. And they have interesting light. They are associated with interesting kinds of lighting styles and plant-based architecture. bridges that are made out of vines and life in the trees and that kind of thing. Most of our monsters are going to be either animalistic or way above humans or a dumb version of humans. The Fae tend to be almost equivalent, if not for their longevity, and therefore they're able to be a little wiser in a lot of respects.
But the definition and the traditions of what Fae are have changed and developed so much over the years. So in the 16th century, you had a philosopher, alchemist, toxicologist named Paracelsus who classified elves and gnomes as spirits of the air. And that's definitely not what we picture today when we think of elves and gnomes.
I think, like our opener quote kind of implied, Tolkien has redefined what elves are for us. Until Tolkien, almost everybody thought of elves as being anywhere between child size to the size of your fist.
Tinkerbell size.
Yeah.
But now we picture elves as tall, elegant, graceful, walking beings because Tolkien redefined the word.
And I think a lot of the references that I hear to elves in my personal life end up coming through Dungeons and Dragons. They have a very Tolkien style of elf, although I do believe in the version I play, they're slightly shorter than humans.
It depends on the kind of elf. Going back to EverQuest, which was the first, like, digital version of D&D, this is where I got my definitions of elves. You had the high elves, which were very Tolkien-esque, tall, elegant elves. You had wood elves that were the shorter, more druidic-based elves. And then night elves, which are in D&D drow.
And if you wanted to listen to another episode talking about the character of elves, we did kind of mention this style in our Shoulder Angels episode, which was back in February, where we talked about the id, ego, super ego. A lot of this super ego stuff gets applied to elves. And that's why I am including Vulcans in the elf, mostly in just modern mythology.
They're space elves.
They play basically the same role in the story.
You go back in history, and elves are more like Santa's elves. Small creatures there to help. Or Harry Potter's house elves, where they're helpers, they're servants in some kind of way. But elves aren't the only fae out there.
Probably my favorite are the Tinkerbell pixie type elves in the movie Willow. They were called brownies. The little guys that just kind of make mischief. They'll move stuff around and they'll maybe cast little bits of magic here and there and they can disappear and reappear. They apparently have a huge hankering for cream. They like get drunk off of fresh cream.
So you have your fairies, pixies, brownies. These are very Celtic in origin. There's a lot of those associations where you can throw out a handful of salt and they have to count every single bit of salt that fell.
That's how you catch a pixie, if you're curious.
Yeah.
And if you want more research on that, there's a fantastic Supernatural episode. It's great.
Fight the fairies! So you also have things like gnomes. Our definition of gnomes in the nerd world are different than the definition of gnomes in a lot of the normal world, because you have gnomes as in, like, World of Warcraft D&D gnomes, and then you have garden gnomes. They're very different.
But gnomes tend to be even smaller than normally a childlike house elf, and that's, I think, size is a big difference between gnomes and dwarves. But they enjoy the non-living parts of the earth, mostly gems and that kind of thing.
In a lot of, like, D&D type culture, they are associated with the tinkerers. They're the steampunk characters that are creating the mechanical what's-its that might just explode.
One of my fondest images of elves and the fae in general actually comes from Shakespeare. If you've ever seen A Midsummer Night's Dream, basically they get lost in the woods, and this fairy queen comes and takes them on this adventure that they go on. And it's all very mystical and magical, and everyone portrays it slightly different, which is one of my favorite things about Shakespeare, is you'll never see the same Shakespeare twice.
You also have a lot of fae represented in Arthurian traditions. Prince Arthur and the Fairy Queen, if you've seen the recent Netflix show Cursed, it's a different representation of the fae and magical beings with King Arthur before he was King Arthur.
And I think Witcher had some references to elves in a way that is not commonly seen nowadays. They weren't the tall, elegant, must-be-respected kind of characters. So that was an interesting look at those characters.
Most of the ones we've been talking about are usually benign. Sometimes tricksters, sometimes out just to have a little bit of fun. But then you have some that are just straight up evil.
The Red Cap is basically an evil version of the gnome. They can be tamed, but mostly just by evil people, into becoming something between an ally and a pet.
One of the ones you may think of first would be the changelings. This was seen in the show and book series Outlander. The idea that these beings will switch out a infant child with a changeling child, and they'll kill the human child and force the humans to raise the changeling child so that they don't have to do it.
And in order to deal with the changeling, if it happens soon enough, they might be willing to, like, trade the child back if you manage to figure out that it's not your kid before they kill your actual kid.
You also have Will-o'-the-Wisps, and these are represented very differently in a lot of different media. So you have Brave, where the Will-o'-the-Wisps are treated more like light beings that are just leading her toward her destiny. But in a lot of classic traditions, if you followed the Will-o'-the-Wisp, you would die.
They often hung out around bogs and swamps. So if you followed this light, you would end up stuck in this bog and you would die there.
Historical basis for this. What actually was happening were gases from the swamp or bog lighting on fire, and it would just kind of flash and people would follow it and fall into the swamp. Like, that's what actually was happening. One of the biggest questions with the fae is how do you deal with them?
We mentioned earlier throwing salt on the ground will stall them, so they have to stand there and count every single one.
A lot of the classic interpretations make fae really vulnerable to iron, like it'll burn their skin if they touch it.
But mostly, I think the best way to deal with them is to just don't deal with them.
Avoid them and never make a deal with a fairy.
Absolutely. That's where a bit of the trickster magic comes in, which is very indicative of the fairies and the pixies.
So if you are interested in writing fairies, writing the fae into your story, remember that you aren't limited to what you've seen before. These traditions have changed and developed and become something completely new over the centuries. Pull from whatever part of it you want. That's what makes this fun.
I think fae will end up being a fantastic